Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to the IGN UK podcast. Hey, I throw my hands up when I open podcasts. It's kind of like a weird thing that I do. Feels like a celebration, doesn't it? Like, gay.
Like what?
Like when you celebrate.
Maybe it's just, you know, you're opening your arms. Like you just want to give everyone a hug. Like, hey,
I
welcome.
Think so. Welcome to my world.
Clutch you to Power Town.
I wish I was as happy as you two.
Thanks, man.
Full of joy.
If you couldn't tell already, I'm Rory Powers and I'm joined by...
me.
Cool. And also
me, Alicia Judge.
Thank you for actually saying your name. That's gonna help. Guys, let's get stuck right in here. Okay,
I'm Simon.
Okay, well, a little late there.
Finally.
Bit of a delay. I don't know if that was the technology or Simon himself.
Well, I'm in a weird mood. This will be good.
This has been the week of trailers.
It has.
We have had three enormous trailers drop within a couple days.
Three trailers.
Yeah. If you count the Super Bowl, yeah, blooming loads.
Too many, if anything. Ooh. It was insane.
We've Jurassic World as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dinosaurs.
But this week specifically, we had the Solo trailer, mm-hmm. we had the trailer for Venom, and also Deadpool, the second Deadpool mm-hmm. movie as well. Alicia, you just caught up on them super
I
quickly,
did.
Right
I
in front
did.
Of us, while me and Cardi just chatted like
Paul
best
Dale
pals.
Was sat in the sound room, just like literally at one point he was biting his nails. I thought people only bit their nails being nervous in like stereotypical badly written movies, but no, he was sat there.
Yeah, he was
watching.
In anguish.
Like, please hurry up.
Yeah. He was like Tom Hardy at the end of the Venom trailer. He's just shaking in the booth.
What's really amazing about those trailers though, I noticed there was two distinct shots. So you know the Deadpool 2 trailer opens and it's like the, oh, this is, you know, walking to him, Vince Cable and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then there's a shot of...
Did you call him Vince Cable?
Vince Cable?
The politician? I would see that film.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Oh my God, can you imagine? Sorry, no, not
just
Vince
Cable.
Cable. That is a very different type of movie. But, you know, and there's a shot of him falling into the water from below the water.
Oh, yeah. That shot is everywhere.
Which is
it's well, a good metaphor for
and
Brexit
this is
Britain.
The thing. Well, yeah. Exactly.
A splash of cold water yeah. in all of our faces.
Ooh, we've woken up.
Yeah. Ooh.
But there's a shot of him doing that, and then obviously Deadpool comes in, and he's like, all right, come on, come on, come on. Like, this is a terrible trailer. You've not put on, like, the VFX, blah, blah, blah. And then he does his own different version. And it's supposedly the beginning of the Deadpool trailer is mocking all of those stereotypes that we
yeah.
see in every single trailer. Mm. You then watch the Venom trailer straight after. And the Venom trailer is basically the beginning parody bit of the
yeah.
Deadpool trailer, complete with the shot of Venom falling into the water with the shot down below of the body coming into the water.
I know, you're almost expecting Deadpool to interrupt that one
yeah,
as well
totally.
And be like, stop it. Like,
stop
this
it,
one is
it.
The one
we're just lazy it. Editing.
Yeah.
That Venom trailer is not good, is it?
You don't even see him. Like, there's so little going on here. It's like, just yeah. you should have just maybe waited until you were ready to show some actual footage. Like, I understand this whole, like, culture of now, like, teasing the teaser for the trailer.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
I don't know.
It's a bit insane. Like, we were just complaining, Cardi, this new thing that I don't know why everyone seems to be doing it these days. They put, like, 10 seconds of action from the trailer at
before
the very
the
start of the yeah. trailer. As if like they think people's attention spans are so short that
yeah.
they'll click on a video and when it goes like in a world where it's like, I'm bored. I didn't
yeah.
see something blow up. I have to change
and it's
it
a weird
now.
Thing because that's something that, I mean, we definitely in our Let's Plays and stuff when we're editing them, we normally do like a 2 second tease of like a really funny part from a Let's Play. If we're doing like an 8 minute video,
yeah.
we'll do like, oh, we'll take the best moment or like one of the best moments and we'll put it at the beginning and then
yeah.
like roll the trailer. But that's because it's an 8 minute bloody video. This is like a 1.5 minute teaser
that's
trailer.
Mad.
Like, just roll it.
And also, if someone clicks on like a Let's Play, they might be like, oh, I wonder what this is going to
yeah,
be like. I don't know
about.
What this is. So you kind of give them a clip of that. But people clicking on the Deadpool
trailer
or there to see the Deadpool trailer.
Yeah.
They're like, whether it starts with a 10 second shot of a man firing a gun isn't going to change
that. A trailer functions as the like couple of seconds preview for the wider movie. Like, you could put the trailer at the beginning
Just cut your trailers better.
I'm getting all fired up now, guys. I'm getting angry about shit. What else pisses you off?
Don't get me started.
When people take too long at the self-checkout, it's like, there's a barrier for the bagging area. Just put it in there and move on.
People stand still on the travelators, you know, the ones that are like between, like on the Jubilee line, and you're like meant to like walk on them and makes you walk quicker.
Oh my god. Or when you're at a crowded station, right, and the doors are about to open and you're on the tube and the person behind you is like, I'm getting off, and you're like, we're all getting off, you son of a bitch, just give me a second.
I'm getting hot.
I got hot there really fast.
No, you don't like things.
What I think we should do is let's come to a decision as to which one of those trailers is the best.
What, between Venom and Deadpool?
Well, I don't think Venom is going to be a contender. No. But between Solo.
I am excited for Solo.
Yeah.
I hope it's good.
Did you like the trailer?
I did kind of enjoy it.
Because Gav really loved it. He was really enjoying it.
I'm a big fan of everyone in it. Yeah. I'm still not sure Emilia Clarke can really act.
Oh, come on now.
I don't think she's a brilliant actress.
Yeah.
I'll wait until I see her in it. I think she's good in Game of Thrones, but I haven't seen her in anything else where she's been good.
I mean...
But also then...
Terminator.
Yeah, okay. I really want to defend her because she seems like a lovely woman.
I'm judging her from a 10-second trailer.
From like what we've kind of seen from the Solo trailer, it looks like she's playing some sort of royalty or higher up.
Or old friend of him, it looks like.
Like that kind of like Khaleesi kind of royalty role might work quite well.
Yeah.
Basically like mother of X-Wings or something, you know? Like it could just slot in really well.
It could be Chewie's mum.
There you go. That's what Wookiees are like. Normal humans that got really
hairy. If you shave Chewie all the way back, he's like Liv Tyler or something. They're all gorgeous women underneath.
That would be incredible.
I think for me personally, I really like the Deadpool one. I think it was like poking fun of how superhero movies can take themselves
That's
a bit
their
seriously.
Thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's the most Deadpool thing ever. But it also kind of ironically did, in the process of making fun of that, showed the villain really well and the movie really well.
Amazing.
Before it kind of took the piss out of it.
Yeah. I think Solo is probably my favorite out of those. I did enjoy the new Jurassic World one as well.
Which one was the new Jurassic World one?
It's
I don't know if I've seen it. Sorry.
It looks... I'm up for that film.
I thought that was a live-action Land Before Time.
Really?
I got really excited.
Oh,
I thought Littlefoot was going to go hunting for some exotic plants.
It's not happening.
No, damn it. A kid can dream.
I'd probably say Solo more just because... I think, well, that's the film I'm most looking forward to out of all those.
Yeah.
So naturally, I think it's the trailer that I enjoyed the most.
I feel like I just watch all the Solo trailers now looking for dice.
What did you say?
They're in there, right?
They are in there. I know.
I wonder why.
Poignant moment.
What was yours, Lucia?
My favourite was definitely the Deadpool trailer. I think because Marvel movies in general I'm starting to get a little bit bored of them.
Yeah.
There are exceptions to the rule, like Black Panther looks absolutely incredible. But what I like about the Deadpool trailer is it's really self-effacing and it kind of mocks this huge, incredible machine that we've like been following for the last decade and then also builds upon it. So it rips it apart. It drags it back down to literally just Deadpool and like two action figures and like in a cardboard box. And like, I'm going to act out the movie. And then at the end, it's like, okay, but actually we're going to give you some incredible action and effects.
Yeah.
So it's like, I like this because it's different. And I loved the first Deadpool movie for like the comedy and the, I know you weren't a massive fan, Cardi, you're pulling a face.
I kind of thought they were taking the mick out of a superhero films, but in the end, they just turned into the same old story in every superhero film.
Yeah.
What, the first Deadpool movie? Yeah, no, I mean, I don't disagree with that at all.
I don't think it was as hot a take on those sort of films as they wanted it to be.
Yeah, I mean, it was the origin story.
I think the trailers for those films were a lot better than the actual film.
Yeah, if you were going into it wanting them to end in a completely different
That's what I wanted, yeah. I wanted them to, yeah.
Yeah, then I get why you'd be disappointed. I don't know, I really liked the fact that the journey to get there was so different. It didn't have the same narrative arc.
I thought the first half of the film was a lot better than the second half. Yeah. I didn't not like it, but I'm not in love with it.
Well, speaking of Marvel movies, we hope are going to break the mold.
Mm. I tell you.
One person in this room has seen a little thing
called Black Panther. Yeah, saw that this week
and
absolutely loved it.
That's good. That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, that Oh, it's just a brilliant film. I don't. It's just we had so colorful. It's so.
There was a screening, I guess maybe like a week ago or so, where there was some of our U.S. colleagues that went to see the movie. And I'm always a little skeptical because I feel like anyone who goes to see a movie early, like the hype is automatically kind of accelerated a little bit early. You're a very excitable man, Cardi.
Am I?
I mean, your face just screams excitement.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm always a little bit nervous. But actually, I think your opinion is one that I value.
There's one person.
Oh, it's so lovely how you're currently spooning.
Yeah. Well, it just adds to it.
Yeah.
Adds to it. Oh, are you ticklish? We'll talk later.
It is brilliant. And I enjoy Marvel films. I'm not the world's biggest Marvel fan. I think they have gone into sort of a pattern of being the same film over and over again. I think I haven't seen Thor Ragnarok yet, and I really should.
Oh, if you want one that you know does things differently.
Because I imagine it's similar to Black Panther in its stylings, which I've seen. And it's just, Black Panther is just amazing. It's kind of this, I was lucky enough to talk to the director yesterday, and I talked to him about how basically when he first talked to Disney about the project, they wanted Black Panther to be their version of James Bond.
That's a really good way of wording it.
You can really see it. Like, there's a part of the film where they go to another country. I won't spoil anything.
Okay.
And it's like just lifted from a Bond film. It's brilliant.
That sounds great.
That's really intriguing.
Yeah. And there's like spies. It's more. It's not just, you know, here's a man with superpowers, here's a villain trying to take over. There's more to it. There's deeper layers, which is really good.
Because I guess like along those lines, we do have Iron Man as a character who kind of is the suave one with all the gadgets along that sort of style, but not like,
I think Black Panther is absolutely upstaged in there. I'm a suave character.
Yeah. I'm completely ready for like a spy Marvel superhero movie.
That's why I like Winter Soldier is one of my favorite of the Marvel ones, because it is different. It's like a Cold War thriller. It's more
absolutely.
It is almost a spy film. And I think that's what makes Black Panther so good, that it is breaking that mold.
If you had to slap some numbers on it right now,
as in,
because you do have, you're coming with us next week to go see it again.
In 2 weeks, couple weeks, we're seeing it again.
Yeah, we're seeing it again. That might change things. But what's the
second view?
I want to see it again, though. Yeah,
it's before you're ready to put.
It's rare that I
on.
See superhero film and go, I need to see that again like tomorrow.
Have there any been Marvel ones that you've seen like more than?
I saw Avengers twice at cinema, I think.
That's a pretty good one. That was such a big thing.
But that
thing
was still
as well.
Like 2 months apart. It wasn't like next day I saw it.
Yeah.
Like all the Batman ones, but they're not Marvel, you know.
Yeah.
All the proper Batman ones.
How many times have you seen those?
I saw Dark Knight Rises 4 times at
In the cinema?
Yeah. Amazing. I think it's brilliant.
Oh my God. That's not a light film either. You might like.
I'm not a light person. A dark individual.
That's why you like cinemas. When the lights go down, you're like, yes. Yeah.
But I would say Black Panther is up there with both Guardians films, my favourite Marvel films. Yeah.
What is your favourite is Guardians?
I think Guardians 2 is slightly better than one.
So those are fighting words.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
You said it to, I think, the one person in this office that did not enjoy
both
Guardians 2.
Both Guardians, Black Panther, Winter Soldier, they're my favourite.
You should
Marvel
check
films.
Out. I'm interested to see what you think of Ragnarok.
I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Are
I'm
you going
to? Yeah. I'm
cool.
In the mood now for
report back.
You're in Marvel
and sound.
Mode.
Yeah.
It's good. It's very colourful. Yeah. Very sound.
Very sound.
Very sound film.
Good.
Speaking of cool, suave people.
Me again.
I'm doing some good. Yeah. We got Cardi on the show. I'm nailing these segues here,
really,
right? It's pretty good.
Right.
Alicia, you met someone this week.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought you were talking about Alicia. You're saying that she met someone this week. Who is suave?
I mean, I did meet someone who is suave.
Yeah, she did. Okay. I'm not saying she's not suave. Oh. She was suave enough to know that I was subliminally suaving her.
So much suave.
Oh, someone's not suave.
I met a lovely, lovely man called Abubakar Salim, also known as Abu for short. And he plays Bayek in Assassin's Creed. And oh my goodness, what a nice man. Like, you know when you're like, because Bayek, he's a very serious chap.
Bayek,
you know?
He is, yeah.
He's just...
You know, like, you didn't give a lighthearted child the name Bayek. Like, he's not going to have a sunshine and rainbows life, is
he? There's a wonderful line where he's like, I never sleep. And he's talking about, like, killing someone. And he's just like, all he says is like, I am Bayek of Siwa.
Yeah, if you want a happy kid, you call him, like, Jim or something, you know, or Timmy. But it's like, if you look at a little kid's face, it's like, you'll be called Bayek.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay.
It's probably, it could be a nice Egyptian name. I don't know.
Maybe it's Egyptian for like sunshine or something. Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Ray of sun. Yeah, I met him because we were doing a panel at the London VFX London VFX Festival with Ooh. BAFTA, talking to a big group of teenagers about careers in video games. And what was really lovely about it is all these teenagers kind of come in, and I'm sat there with Abu, with a guy called Dan Pierce, who's a developer. And these kids don't really know like who we are. They're just finding in like, yeah, let's talk about careers in video games. And we go down the line and we introduce ourselves.
I hope that when you guys took the stage, you know, because you're talking to teenagers, so you got to be on their level.
Uh-huh.
So I assume the first thing you did was, you know, walk in, flip your chair around so you're sitting on like the wrong way backwards and be like, let me rap with you kids for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
By rap, I literally rapped that. Yeah. Let me rap with you. Oh God, I'm not even going to do it.
Ooh.
You can tell.
I'm glad you did that.
And then you gotta like make fun of a rival school or something, you know, to like get, oh, what about that local sports team, huh? Oh, that was a good one.
Well, hey, you didn't need to connect with them in any other way, because basically all Abu had to do was he just went, hey, my name's Abu. And like the kids are all there with like blank expressions, like, yeah mate, whatever. And he's like, I play Bayek in Assassin's Creed. And literally the room erupted. Because of course, like, this is
that game in 18?
I don't know, actually.
Hmm.
Oh, something's not right there, Cardi.
Well, these kids were aged 15 to 18. I think they were in the right age bracket.
Okay.
But like,
I assume he took the stage holding a falcon. Like, and they still couldn't tell.
He came out with 10 blades. Yeah.
Well, he lowered himself from the rafters to get on the stage.
There was some long grass on the stage. He just suddenly leapt from it.
Big haystack, yeah.
But yeah, like, and I found it really interesting because obviously he, if you think about his character, you know, he was the face of the biggest video game, one of the biggest video games to come out from last year.
Yeah.
And people probably spent more time with him than they did with any character they saw in a movie. You know, like in terms of, you know, you could be playing Assassin's Creed for 40 hours and yet he can walk down the streets and be completely anonymous because, of course, like, he has a completely different accent. You know, he speaks like, I think he's from South London or something. So he's got this really like London accent. He doesn't sound like Bayek and he doesn't look like Bayek. So it's like this amazing, weird world of being a video game actor when you are the face of this massive franchise, but can, you know, go to Sainsbury's and like have your stuff. And
yeah, that is weird, isn't it? I always remember the one that really freaked me out was, did you guys play Far Cry 3?
No, I didn't. Yes.
What was the name of the villain? The amazing one.
Vaz?
I think it was Vaz. It's essentially this guy who was auditioning for the role for the villain, and he has this kind of like this cool accent, and he's a bit insane, really unhinged. And essentially his audition was so good that they completely redesigned the character to look like the actor. So in that case, you're looking at the same guy from the game.
That would be terrifying.
That'd be really, because he is a very creepy character as well.
Yeah.
So it must be strange then when you like lend your voice to this whole character. And obviously like he's recording probably thousands of voice lines.
Well, it's a really fascinating process because he gave insight basically into behind the scenes in the making of Assassin's Creed Origins. So he was saying, first of all, in the audition process, his agent came to him and was like, hey, we've got this role for you for an animated movie. It's called Egyptologists. So if you
I want to see that.
So of course, because it's all like under wraps.
Right, code
names.
So
they're like, they'll say that it's an animated movie because that's close enough to like, they're like, oh, it'll involve motion capture. And so he goes, he does his like first round of auditions and stuff. And he goes to the second and final round of auditions. And it's there where they say to him, oh, this is for a game called Assassin's Creed. Now, Abu is a massive video game fan. Like when he first met me,
he was
like, Alyssia is so good. Alyssia from IGN. Oh my gosh, it's so lovely to meet you. And I was dying inside. Like, you know, you're trying to keep it cool. Like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, it's Bayek and he knows IGN and this is so exciting. So like he literally, when they said to him, you're going to play the lead role in
Assassin's
Creed.
He must have thought
Creed.
It was like a scam or something. Some sort of massive pyramid scheme.
How long were you baking that one for?
Oh, a good 2 minutes.
But he said when they offered him the role, this is exactly what he did on stage. He was like, so they offered me the role and I went, he does this really high pitched scream that sounds like a pterodactyl.
Auditioning for the eagle?
And so he was like this massive fan. And when he got brought on, the actual character of Bayek was still kind of, the cement wasn't dry on it. So the way that a lot of video game production works is that actually kind of like the story is one of the last things that they create, because think about it, like a world like ancient Egypt and the detail with which they got into creating it. Like that takes years and years and years. So they start with the world first and like, okay, let's just do it like a recreation and we'll like drop the story onto it later. So when he came onto the game, all that he knew about his character was he's called Bayek, he lives in ancient Egypt, and he's an assassin. They didn't even know that he had a wife. They didn't even know that he was basically like an old town ancient Egyptian sheriff. Like no aspect of his character had been kind of created. So he was like, as an actor, it was fascinating compared to like, you know, working in a film where you're brought on and very much the character's kind of set in stone. You have your script and like you can be creative with it and you know, you bring your own spin. But like he was like, I actually helped create Bayek, and like
that's awesome.
Really, like what an amazing experience as an actor.
Yeah.
So he's now like because he actually got into like the final round of auditions to in Star Wars to play John Boyega's character. It was between him and John Boyega,
which
was amazing. And he said he was gutted when he lost out. He was like, if he'd have taken, were you? Little known fact about Cardi. Yep.
I was in for Ray.
They wanted to remodel the character about me, but I said, guys, don't do it. Stick to your guns. I'll drop out.
You go on without me, lads.
Yeah, go on.
But imagine the world could have been a really different place. It could have been.
What if Cardi was in Star Wars?
Yeah, you'd watch.
I would actually watch that movie.
Who would you play? You could be a Poe.
Yeah, I could be Poe. Why not? I think Luke.
Ooh.
Luke. You come back as Yoda in like form.
I could do it. All me. I'll be everyone.
I'd quite like to be a Porg. That looks like a fun role.
Just voice it, or like your head on a Porg's body?
Just my head on a Porg's body. With like tiny little handless wings.
That would be good.
But yeah, like so Abu was saying that because he lost out on that role, it meant that he got into Assassin's Creed. And now he's like, this is what I want to do. Like video games and video games acting is like such an incredible thing to dive into as an actor. And it gives you such creativity
it's
and
nice
such freedom.
It's nice that he's landed on his feet.
Yeah.
Assassins do.
Well, rather than in a hay bale.
Yeah.
Well, it's really cool as well, because on that note, I actually, one of the games I was checking out this week was Ni No Kuni 2. And I actually got to talk a little bit with some of the voice actors that are involved in that game.
Oh, cool.
And it's such a different experience for them, because they're obviously taking these characters that are already written, already blocked out. Obviously, script is written in Japanese, recorded all in Japanese, and then brought over. So not only now are you kind of having to like adopt these characters, but also, you know, translate all of this into English, including the mannerisms, because, you know, as you know, in these games, there's always like a pretty prominent Welsh character as well. So that's not an
Gaff?
Easy thing to do.
He's in all these games. What?
And it's like, it just seems like such a different experience. And I think that's kind of cool, is that like we've talked about three different versions of like voice acting in video games, and they're all so different compared to like voice acting in animation or cartoons and things like that. It's crazy, isn't it?
And it's crazy because it's such a long production cycle. And like, particularly in games, you've got to be so tight-lipped about it because like...
You've got to talk like this.
You've got to,
into the mic. You can't tell anyone.
But like, so think about it. Like, say if you're
brought
on...
You judge me at that. I see your face.
But it's like, you know, it's 3 years until release and you've been brought on and it's your first day and you're doing your first line. And you know that you're playing like this character in Ni No Kuni or like a character in Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't tell anyone that you're doing it. So imagine like coming home from like a day at work or like going to like a family gathering at Christmas. Oh, how's that acting stuff going, Cardi? And you're like...
Who just asked him that question? Old shaman?
In my head, it was your gran, and then I was like, "Your gran's really cool if she's referring to you by your last name."
Yeah, that would be weird, wouldn't it?
Party boy.
But yeah, like, you know, and you can't say to them, "Yeah, like I'm working on this amazing franchise." You know, you have to for three Christmases in a row.
I don't think my nan cares about Ni No Kuni 2, to be honest.
Oh, but Assassin's Creed, yeah,
that's right up her street.
Oh, she loves it.
What sort of like, what was the timeline, did they say? Like, you know, in terms of... Because obviously everything would already have been recorded over in Japan. So would they listen to the Japanese characters and then they'd have to, like...
Theirs was, I think, comparatively short because a lot of it is already written and done. Mm. And unlike Assassin's Creed, Ni No Kuni 2 is a lot of it is based around cutscenes.
Right.
So it's not so much just reacting to the environment happening. You probably don't have to record 3,000. You know those like video game generic sounds.
Yeah, that's really like, awkward. Area.
Yeah, I don't want to be the one.
Abu was saying as well, like he had to record the kissing scenes for him and his wife. But like obviously he's just in a dark booth by himself.
By himself, they don't even
looking like, at a mic. So he just has to make
get them both in, do it at the same time.
Yeah, not those ones just going. It's like, does he know that's not how you kiss?
Abu, it's time to have the talk.
If you guys were like getting stabbed in a video game and you were the voice actor and you're dead, like, can I hear like your battle cry?
Oh, fuck.
Cut.
That was
yeah.
Wait, so every time you die, fuck.
Wait, this is us dying.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so I'm going to stab you now. Let's see.
Oh, no.
This
okay.
is like what? Your death noise. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1. That's pretty good. All right, do me.
Oh, that was really good. See? Well done. Mine kind of sounded like I was throwing up, but yours sounded more like...
I like Cardi's. Fuck!
You would, though.
Swearing. No, you wouldn't.
Actually, do you know what? I don't think I'd scream. I'd just be silent. I'd be like...
To be fair...
I wasn't and that's silent. What? You made a noise.
No, but...
I think I'd just be silent. I'd go...
You know what I mean.
I do know. Yeah, breathy. Noble and breathy. Like... Like last breath, sort of.
Yeah, like my leaving, soul exiting my body.
Exactly.
To go to a better place.
Which is what happens when we all die. Speaking on that note, I...
did you enjoy the game? Did you enjoy
Ni No Kuni 2? You know what? I actually really did enjoy it. I never actually got to complete the first game.
Neither did I. I played a good few hours, but yeah, never... I was really enjoying it as well.
Yeah.
For some reason, didn't finish it.
I know. I don't know what it was. It's the same with me. They've kind of rejigged a lot of the same aspects, so it's the same. It feels like the same, like in-game engine, and a lot of the same mechanics are there. But things like the combat now are actually really fun.
See, I'm a big fan of turn-based stuff, though.
Really, because it really puts
like
me off.
Turn-based as well.
It's nice and relaxed. I don't have to. I can actually just sit back and just take my time. I don't have to worry about constantly.
Well, it's still like a lot of the feelings of a turn-based combat game are there. Mm. So you know, you like almost like Pokemon style. Exploring the from the top, and then you know you bump into a monster fight, and it would be like combat, and then
it's just,
it goes
it's just
into
like Persona, then.
Yeah. Well, I've never played Persona.
Them. You'd enjoy that.
I know it's unbelievable, but it was fun. Like I had a really good time playing it. I think in this version, Studio Ghibli are like further removed. I'm not
I don't
sure
think
they're actually
all involved,
like doing much at all. No. But it still looks incredible. It's got that really like just sweet. Kind of Studio Ghibli cartoon style to it, and some of the like the worlds and the towns you visit are just like incredible
is
looking.
Is Mr. Drippy back?
The big Mr. Drippy is not back, but there is another little helper, and he is very Welsh as well. And the voice actor was actually Welsh as well. I met him.
Oh, great!
I was like, you should meet my friend Gav. He would.
Oh my
love
gosh! Can you imagine?
They probably know each other.
They probably do. I'm gonna check what time we're on, see if we have time to talk about.
You're talking about Bayonetta. Do it now.
Yeah, we can. We're only on half an hour. That's fine.
Yeah, get on with it.
I have been playing Bayonetta.
One
and two.
So I've never played these games, and I do kind of want to because they do look mad.
I'm calling this section Witch on a Switch.
You've really wanted to put that in, didn't
I
you?
I did. I made a nice. Special note.
Nice.
Have you played it, Alicia?
No, I've not. But there's someone who works at IGN in the US office that apparently looks like the lead character.
She does. She does, actually, yeah.
Who is it?
Is it Casey?
Casey. Yeah. Yes, Casey DeFreitas.
She's got the glasses.
Yeah, because like she did, I think she guest hosted the Daily Fix. And yeah, like everyone was like, oh my gosh, it's Bayonetta. And now like I've looked, I can't unsee.
It's crazy. I mean, very unrelated to that.
She's not a witch, as far as we know.
She is not a witch.
No.
Because I love Devil May Cry. I love all those games. They're some of my favorite games in terms of combat and the insane storyline as well. And I never even realized that this is essentially just another Devil May Cry game. But you've got guns like duct taped to high heels. Like it is crazy stylized in like the best way possible. It's so much fun. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I think the narrative is maybe a couple of years ago I would have taken the time to get really invested in it. Mm. But it is so batshit crazy that it's kind of like...
Is it well on Switch? Is it play well?
Yeah, I was about to say, how's the port?
Most of it is fine. I think there's a couple button allocations which are a bit awkward.
Right.
Like lock on to an enemy is essentially like R1, but dodge is R2. So you're kind of like, it's kind of hard to like do that at the same time. Yeah. I end up just not locking on a lot of the time. Right. Maybe you can customize that. I haven't checked. I don't need to. I just freestyle it. Absolutely. but one of the weird things about it is, so I was like, I was looking up just like info about the game the other day. And apparently the director said the whole theme of the game is sexiness.
Great theme.
It is maybe the sexiest game I've ever played in my life. It's literally like, it's like the whole thing is supposed to be just so sexy. Like the way everyone walks and talks and like little sly remarks. And it's so strange.
Does everyone just flirt with each other even when they're killing each other?
Non-stop. Absolutely.
So like they're thrusting like the noises they make when they're like stabbed. And more like,
well, even like you'd be face to face with a demon and it's like kind of flirting with the demon and all this weird stuff. But it's like,
I flirt with the demon daily.
That's your autobiography, isn't it?
Flirt with the demon, yep.
But just to have that experience on a Nintendo Switch is the weirdest thing. Like there was a cutscene where one of the characters is just full on swearing, like dropping F-bombs. And it's like, it's just so strange. I know that we've got like Wolfenstein and things on Switch as well, but I was like looking at it and thinking, that's where Mario lives. Don't you say those words, where Mario lives.
You don't want to be getting erect on a tube.
Exactly. Among many places. It's weird, but I like, if you love Devil May Cry or even the Bayonetta games, it's worth picking them up because it is a lot of fun.
And it's one and two combined, isn't it?
I got a code, so I don't know.
I think...
Ooh.
I think they released them as a package, one and two together.
Okay, well, there you go, even better then.
And Freeze out later this year, is that right?
Yeah.
I think it's out later.
I don't know. I'm going to take that as gospel, though. Cardi says Bayonetta 3 confirmed.
When am I ever, wrong?
Headlines tomorrow.
For more information on Flirting with the Demons, Cardi's new Amazon ebook going out in 2018.
Hit me up. If you want any tips on flirting with the devil, I'm here.
Well, he's...
Trident-tested methods.
Nice.
Apparently, the way you beat him is mirrors.
I'm not trying to beat him. I'm trying to love him.
Because he's... same thing, isn't it?
What?
It's because he's obsessed with his own reflection. So if you use mirrors...
Isn't that Medusa?
No, she turns to stone.
Yeah.
Because she's got her crazy stone eyes. And people say this podcast is all about just fun. You know, these are some hardcore stuff.
We talk some serious things.
He is a horny devil.
It is interesting, though, how, like, they're porting a game like Bayonetta that has like, all the sexiness and the swearing and stuff onto Switch, because... I was in a primary school this week doing a careers tour.
Wow, where is this going?
Well, so exactly. Wait for this segue. Oh God. I went very professionally to a school in London to talk to them about careers, which for a start was crazy
this is all you do now, talk to kids about careers.
About careers. Apparently this has very much been my week. I've done two talks this week, which is crazy.
You know, you have seven overdue projects.
I know.
We have to send out teams to schools across the
my
country and try and find
my career is crashing and burning.
It's funny, they haven't sent me to any. I'm the dumb one.
Because you talk and flirt with demons every day.
Oh, well.
But it was a weird one because, like, obviously you're talking to these kids who are, like, they were aged between 8 and 11 and, like, they're not going to make these decisions about their career for, like, another 10 years.
Yeah.
But I was talking to them about careers in video games and all of the games that I was doing a bunch of research so that, like, when I was making my slides, I could make sure that there were, like, characters on screen that, like, they would know and that they'd recognize. And I suddenly realized how completely out of touch we are as games media with, like, the sort of games that kids play. Because, like, even if you... I was looking at all the games that I love from last year, like Horizon Zero Dawn, like, that's, like, a 15 or something. Like, you know, these primary school kids, like, pretty much the only thing that they can play is Nintendo Switch games.
Yeah.
So this is my link of, like, we were... A lot of my slides had... characters that you'd find on the Switch, and whenever, like, you know, Mario Odyssey was on screen, and literally the kids went nuts. There was, like, I talked to 400 kids and the room just erupted. There was a
400 kids.
There was a lot of kids in this room, and they just, like, they were like
about,
like,
Mario
talking to each other, and, like, it was Mario. I had Splatoon. I did Minecraft.
Years ago, kids would have gone mad for Mario.
That's crazy.
Ooh,
there
good.
Was I'm gonna tell you about a kid in a minute who was my absolute favorite on the front of Mario. But yeah, like, I think that's what's interesting about the Switch as a console, because our experience of it is dramatically different from the experience of, like, a lot of kids who are, like, all these ports that are coming onto it and stuff, and we're really excited for is this whole, like, world that Like, I just feel like the Switch's player base is almost like divided in half because they can market it to kids.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, adults also really love it. And like, it's a really interesting console.
You don't want primary school kids going toe-to-toe with Hitler, do you?
No.
No, not really. No.
Oh, that's wait till they get their hands on Bayonet as well. Gee, it'll blow their goddamn heads off.
Happening, not on my watch.
No.
There was but talking about this kid that was amazing. So I began the talk by saying to them, because I was like, look, if you're 8 years old, you're not going to make this decision for a while about your career. So I'm not going to bother going into the in-depth detail of how careers in the games industry work and like specific jobs. What I am going to do...
stumble in.
Well, like what I wanted to do was encourage them to start thinking more big picture about the games industry as a whole. And like, hey, you should consider making games now because you're 11 and like you can learn to code. And like by the time that you're 14, you could have some like incredible skills in games design. So my
That's insane.
Which was insane. Yeah, I know.
I couldn't even use like clip art perfectly when I was 19.
Literally, I asked this group of 400 kids who couldn't program, and every single hand went up.
Mad.
What do you mean these program?
Program, like code.
How much? Robots? We need to shut these kids down. What are they teaching at these mad
schools?
Turns out
all these kids are just robots.
All I'm hearing is that you went into a room with 400 little drones.
Mate, I've not even got to the best of it. So my opener was saying to them, how do you play? And my idea was that, because I did this talk with my boyfriend who's a games designer. And so like our opener was, how do you play? How do you have fun? They'd tell us how they play. And we'd go, because when I was younger, I really loved stories and writing. And so I've made a career out of being a video games journalist where my job is to tell news stories and stories about like and communicate ideas. And John, when he was little, he really, really loved building things. And so he's made a career out of being a games designer. So what we were saying is like, look at the way that you like to play and the things that you love doing, and you can build a career out of that. And so we turn around and we say to these kids, how do you like to play? Does anyone here ever make things? And this little boy puts up his hand and he goes, yeah, I build Viking longships.
What? what a legend.
And you have to keep like your face completely straight because you're like, and he's this little chubby boy. And, he, and like, he just.
Like full size Viking longships.
That's one of those moments where you just go,
and then like, not, and then I am not keeping it together if that happens. Norway.
And then later
more
on.
More like Norway. Am
that's
I right?
Why, Joe, that was what I did.
Oh.
Later on, we put Mario on screen and we're talking about the role of a games artist. And so we say to the kids, Mario comes on screen, the kids freak out. When they've calmed down, we're like, okay, so like, what can you tell us about Mario and what he looks like? And so what we want them to say is like, well, he wears red dungarees and he has a moustache.
Right.
This kid puts
wears
up
blue
his...
dungarees.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. My red word. Hat, sorry, my I, bad, oh, my bad.
I'm not
how
having that
dare
slip.
I? So this little boy puts up his hand and he goes, yeah, so actually you'll find that in the 8-bit era, his look was very different because his clothes were a very different color to how he is now. But of course it changed when we hit the 1990s and like literally Viking.
You just go, shut up,
Viking
nerd. Any real answers?
Yeah.
And like, you know, when you look at this child, he's exactly the sort of child that you're like, adults love you, like I adored him,
yeah.
But God, you're going to have such a hard time at secondary wow. school.
And the thing is, he'd love this new God of War, but he is no way is he 18.
No. Yeah. And he was freaking out. But yeah, these kids, like other kids said that they did origami in their spare time. Others said
they
that they drew
rain.
Kauai, yeah. Viking longships. You know when you're like, all of them program, you know when you're like, I don't hang out with kids because I'm not at that age where my parents
I can't think what I was doing when I was, how old were they, 10, 11?
10, 11,
God
yeah.
knows what I was
I
doing.
Certainly wasn't building
probably
Viking
still playing
longships.
Football Manager.
I have like a weird parallel universe version of this where, because a lot of the times in the summer, I used to go to like a summer camp when I was younger. So now that I'm older, I go back as a counselor to like look after kids for
lovely.
Like a couple weeks. But it's gotten to this weird point now where I'll go and they're like, it's like these 10-year-old kids being like, I've seen your YouTube videos. And I'm like, don't watch those.
Oh, God.
Don't watch those. Please don't watch those. Do as I say, not as I do. Don't repeat anything that I've said on those
don't
shows.
Don't do as you do either.
Because it's prepare to try, you know, and that's a pretty,
yeah, that's
pretty X-rated...
X-rated.
Some X-rated content.
I do love it how occasionally every now and again like an email goes out from IGN HQ and it's about like swearing and stuff and videos and it's like,
yeah.
Okay guys, make sure that like profanities are like on the DL and like all this kind of stuff. And we just suddenly realize, and that's just generally to the company, and like no one ever picks up prepare to try.
It's like this like, unwritten.
It's like the naughty child at the back of the class.
That's half the job, bleeping out their words when they're doing that.
It's a long edit. Like we literally had a meeting the other day, me, Dan and Gav, to talk about whether we should cut mentioning a gangbang out of one of the recent episodes, and we ruled to keep it in as well, so we are unstoppable.
And you were all away. I had to slack you because I was cutting this one. I was like, am I leaving the bit about the gangbang in?
It was a consensual, fun gangbang. It was fine.
Feedback.
Yeah.
I'm first up.
All right.
I've got one from Tommy Sola. Sola Zola, not Gianfranco, it's with an S. Says, hi. I got to say, I love your ranting about games and movies. Well, thank you very much.
Dramatic pause there.
Getting some breath in. I've been listening to you guys for a while now, and something caught my mind enough to write in. Here we go.
Get into it.
Come on. Please talk more about games that isn't involving football or Football Manager.
Oh.
Games are total sim on managing your teams and such, and doesn't give a regular game as enough stimulation as normal games does. I could almost compare that game to Farm Simulator, where actually driving an interactive tractor is more stimulating than managing weird player on big field with less action than numbers hovering in RNG. Is that meant to be RPG, maybe?
I don't know. Oh, I'm going to have to hold you back. You are going
I don't hate hair. Football. I'm a Manc fan myself. Unlucky. Well, not unlucky. Your team's brilliant. But I'd rather see him on telly or live, and definitely not listen to people rant about Manager Game on a podcast. This will be the only negative thing I can say about the podcast.
That's nice.
Besides all the mad rantings you have on the podcast, I freaking love it. Well, I'm not talking about Football Manager anymore, so that's that.
I'd actually think we wouldn't have talked about Football Manager on this podcast had he not written in to ask us to stop talking about Football Manager.
So anyone who lost that segment, I'm sorry, it's gone.
Oh, everyone write in and tell Cardi how much you love the Football Manager.
You don't need segment. To tell me that. You don't need to. I don't
you're
need
saying that.
That,
but you're crying now, so I can see.
I'm okay. I'm sorry we can't please everyone, Tommy, but...
That's life. That's, you know, the world of entertainment. I have an email here from Jack Milburn. He says, hello, IGN UK. With the Royal Rumble just being, I was just wondering who your favorite wrestlers are at the moment.
We need Dale on this podcast.
It does not have to be WWE.
Find it funny that none of us like wrestling.
Jax is Finn Balor, I think it is. Not sure why.
Is he the Irish guy, Finn
he
Balor?
He is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's actually, wrestling
he's
knowledge.
One of the only ones I know. So there we go.
I actually, Kurt Angle was always my favorite wrestler.
Yeah.
He was my favorite when I was growing up. And I was amazed to hear that he's still wrestling to this day, which is incredible. Although I think he's taken a much more like further back role. Yeah. But then there's someone, we went to go watch the WWE live at, where was
that?
London?
That, didn't you?
Yeah. Do you remember that, Alicia? Where was that?
Yes,
that was
we did.
In Wembley? Not Wembley.
That was so much fun. No, it wasn't Wembley. Was it Wembley?
It was. It was the SSE Arena. Or no.
Wembley Arena.
The Wembley Arena. Yeah. That's the one. And it was... So good. It was so good. My favorite, though, at the minute, just because Dale and Gav introduced me to his theme song is... Oh, God, wait. I need to look it up. I have it on Spotify. It is... You know, because you know how wrestlers have, like, intro songs?
Yeah.
It's mad, I don't know. I've never really been into wrestling. I do know Finn Balor, though, and I'm going to say he's my favorite because he's also a Spurs fan.
That's a good reason. My favourite's probably Sasha Banks, just because...
I was going to say Sasha Baron Cohen.
Yeah!
It's a new role.
Can you imagine? just because the first time I saw her was in the documentary, I think Channel 4 might have done it, on the very first women's Hell in a Cell match. And it was like the lead up to her as she trained and stuff. And she just seemed like one of the nicest women ever, and like she was so passionate about wrestling, and like, and then you like see her actually go into like Hell in a Cell, and she's like, she's talking about how she's grown up like watching this and how this is a huge moment for like women's wrestling, and then she just pummels this and you're like, this really sweet lovely lady is just like, ah!
I would love to get more into wrestling, honestly. It's like
the time.
It's so much, it just looks so much fun, and it's such a fun thing to be into, you know, like the showmanship of it and the competitions.
Same,
and everything. It just
like,
looks great.
Like I don't really watch wrestling, and the only times that I've done so are when like we did that live, when we went and saw that live wrestling match that you mentioned, and a couple of years ago. And like whenever I've been, I've just been like, this is so much fun. This is amazing.
It's amazing, right?
It's like
just
a real life
you've got
soap
this
opera.
Song in your workout playlist.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm gonna say. If you like working out, you need to listen to the WWE intro song of Bobby Roode called Glorious Domination.
Oh, what?
Holy
Glorious Domination.
Shit.
Yeah,
it is incredible. Do you want me to play it? Okay, wait, hold on.
Don't get a copyright strike.
This is good. You know, kind of ominous start.
Okay.
And then?
I'm ready.
Gav and Dale showed me this, and I put it on my workout playlist. And it is literally the best song in the world.
I'm just imagining you doing bicep curls, sweat dripping down your face to Glorious.
Just screaming, screaming.
Screaming Glorious domination.
I'm in a full leotard as well.
Wow.
So that's because of that song, Bobby Roode's one of my
favorites.
Bobby
Roode.
Well.
Mm-hmm. How did he come up with that?
Heard it here first. All right. Feedback from Michael Van Antwerp, who says, Dear IGN tricksters, pranksters, and video game prophets.
Ooh, that's good, that, isn't it?
I mean, one of those is right. Are we pranksters?
Tricksters? Prophets? Who knows? On last week's podcast, Simon mentioned about a Photoshop job he did with the misinformation that Red Dead Redemption 2 was being delayed due to the addition of
it's
a Battle Royale mode.
It's good. It's
right. While surfing the nets, I happened upon several articles reporting that Rockstar is actually hinting at a Battle Royale mode for said game.
I did break the news. Did break the news.
Well, Michael Van Antwerp says that I was shocked right out of my chair.
I know. Why wouldn't you be?
Was it a mere coincidence? Or is Simon some kind of Red Dead clairvoyant? Suddenly the video game prophet thing is making sense.
I am some sort of cowboy Sufi mystic.
A cowboy psychic.
Oh my God. Just end the podcast now. I don't think we can top that.
Is it true that anything you Photoshop comes to fruition?
Yeah, so watch out.
Oh.
I'm going to put you on top of a snake.
Oh,
you'll become a big
God.
Snake.
Oh, well, he wants to know. This leaves me.
I don't know why that came to mind. You're a snake.
If I look over today and I see my head on a fucking snake, if that's the podcast artwork for this week, I'm going to be livid, Cardi. Don't you dare turn me into a snake.
You're going to wake up shedding your skin tomorrow.
Imagine me waking up looking down. Ah, shit, he did it. Snake body.
More like,
great.
Shit. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Well, this leaves Michael Van Antwerp to wonder, what else does Simon know? Question mark.
Well, what do you want to know?
Are you going to turn Rory into a snake?
Probably not, no. He's a nice guy.
Oh, thanks, man. What about the opposite and, like, giving me some stuff? Like,
what do you want?
What are those mythological creatures, like half horse, half...
Centaurs.
Can you turn me into one of those?
What? Do you actually want to be a centaur?
Maybe.
That would be really...
I can run faster.
Oh, but that'd be difficult on the underground.
Well,
can you imagine
I know...
a rush hour trying to squeeze...
I don't need to go on the
line?
Underground. I can run.
I know what the podcast
fun's
going to be. It's going to be your face on a centaur. Well, on a horse, even.
Then Elysia's the snake?
Will I do that?
Someone's got to get snaked.
Do you know what?
Yourself,
I don't have
Cardi.
The time for any Photoshop jobs. It's not happening. You've lost it. You got greedy.
Bloody hell. We're too close to the sun on that one.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that was fun.
What are your predictions then, Clairvoyant Cardi, for this year?
This year?
In video games.
In video games in general.
In, glad we narrowed
general,
that down. Cause...
In video
games. Yeah.
Well, you don't know what I see coming. I think Red Dead Redemption is going to come out.
Okay.
And it's going to be absolutely brilliant.
Okay. Oh, heard it here first, guys. Yep. Heard it here first.
There we go.
So you know who to cite when it drops.
Yep. Yeah,
absolutely.
It now just sounds like I'm getting paid off. I'm not. Absolutely not. What else is going to happen? A new football manager will be released.
Oh. We can't talk about that, though. So
no,
move on.
No, that's over. And
third and final thing.
I am going to say that.
Ooh.
Ooh, what's it going to be? It's a tough one, isn't it? That Animal Crossing for the Switch will be released this year. That's my...
Now that's actually a ballsy call.
There we go.
That's good. I mean, I'm really hoping that comes true.
I don't know why. I've never played an Animal Crossing game. Don't know why that came to mind.
Oh, you are going to love it. It is great. It
good
is
stuff.
Like the cup of tea of video games.
What?
Like just soothing and nice. And you can never have enough of it.
I don't like tea.
Oh, shit.
What?
Will I like Animal Crossing? That's
no,
the big question.
Evidently not. He'll probably hate it.
That
was the IGN UK podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will be back next week with another episode. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.